better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You know, one of the things that you teach law students, when you make arguments to juries, make sure you don't insult the jury. And if there was one major blunder during the argument, it was Jerry Nadler, who got ahead of his skis a bit.
Unfortunately, so far I've seen every Republican senator has shown that they want to be part of the cover-up by voting against every document and witness proposed.
And when he said that, there was sort of a hush, a reaction from the senators. This is not the place for that.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
First of all, again, we're now on day two. Hopefully will be the end of day two before too long. I see nothing that has changed in the last now day and a half of their 2.5 days that we've been going here.
I don't know about you, but it became mind-numbing after a while. I got the general point you're trying to make the fourth time you told me. So they're over-trying their case.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Just last night, there was a video that surfaced of a father who approached you at an event and said, you know, it's not fair. I've saved for my daughter's college education, and now you're talking about forgiving and helping out all the people who didn't save.
By that same logic, what would we have done? Not started Social Security because we didn't start it last week for you or last month for you?
Are you saying tough luck to these people, Senator?
No.
Well, you kind of sort of are.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Isn't the president going to be stronger and harder to beat if he survives this? The answer is yes.
Interesting strategy.
It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. What did I tell you yesterday? It's not a good strategy in a trial, whether it's in a courtroom or in the U.S. Senate, to go out as the prosecutor and insult the jury. And now it turns out that's what happened with Nadler. I mean, and this guy has a law degree. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I just have watched all these trials throughout my entire career. And you know, if you've watched trials on TV, you know how it works. But Nadler doesn't. The round mound of, you know, someone said in my column today, said, doesn't Nadler look like the corpse at a wake? Only if the corpse has been, you know, in the river for the water for 2 or 3 weeks. And is all kind of bloated up, you know. But anyway, so Nadler insults these people and says they're part of a cover up, and it's a disgrace, and they're treacherous, and all this stuff. And apparently, Susan Collins, of all people, Susan Collins from Maine, who is not a lawyer either, but she's been in the Senate for a long time, and she thinks to herself, if this were a Senate debate, there would be multiple objections to the presiding officer saying you can't insult people. You know, they have all this crap, the gentlewoman from Maine and the gentleman from Florida, you know, and all of a sudden this fat turd. We're not in a courtroom now, okay? This fat turd comes in and starts insulting all these people. And she wrote a note to Chief Justice Roberts and basically said, what the hell's going on here? What kind of judge are you? And that's what, you didn't see this, Grace?
No, I was just going to say, it's almost like calling people deplorable that you expect to vote for you. What's the sense of calling people idiot, corrupt losers, and then saying, by the way, I hope you side with me?
Right. I mean, but, you know, again, you don't have to go to law school or hang out in a courtroom for years to figure this out. You know, it's like we were saying yesterday. Your mother tells you you can get more with honey.
You get more bees with honey.
Yeah.
That's what my mom used to say.
Yeah, exactly. And this guy comes out and he, you know, These spineless people like Murkowski was insulted too from Alaska, and you know, who knows about Mitt Romney? He's a foul ball, but you know it it looks like it's a lot harder now for them to get the votes they need. They need three or four votes. I guess they need four votes from Republicans to get witnesses. And again, be careful what you wish for, Democrats. You know, because it's pretty clear they're going to have the Bidens are going to be called, and the whistleblower and all this, and more stuff is coming out about the whistleblower. And the other thing too is someone was pointing out today that you've got some Democrats who have tough races. You know, it's not just Cory Gardner from Colorado or Susan Collins from Maine. You got Democrats like Doug Jones from Alabama. I mean, he's a real underdog to begin with. But you know, if he votes to screw the president and call witnesses, I mean, it's going to be even more impossible for him to get reelected. You got this guy Gary Peters from Michigan. Of course, Trump carried Michigan. Michigan is looking good for Trump. He said that at the Mar-a-Lago. You know, he was talking about that when I saw him. He was up 10 points in Michigan. They got an attractive black guy, James, running against this guy Peters, who's just a lightweight, and he's got to think about this. You know, does he want to make one? But of course, the mainstream media isn't talking about Peters or Jones or the woman in Minnesota, which the Republicans are making a big pitch, big play to take Minnesota, because Minnesota's doing well and they almost took it in 2016, and they got a fairly weak woman candidate. I think her name is Tina Smith, and you know she'd probably vote to call witnesses. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to do well with witnesses. And now I guess Trump is disturbed because the opening arguments for his side, Sekulow and those guys, are going to be on Saturday afternoon. And as we all know, I mean, Saturday afternoon is like Death Valley for TV. But when you're dealing with this impeachment, everything is Death Valley, isn't it? I mean, it's gone. They had 11 million people. They had like wall-to-wall coverage on networks and cable the first day. And they had 11 million people. That's not much. Then the second day, it went down 20%. It's under 9 million people. Under 9 million people in a country of, what, 330 million people? And I just don't think anybody's paying attention. It's like Lindsey Graham said. I mean, how can you, they just keep repeating themselves over and over and over again? These guys don't know anything about how to present a case to a jury, or they don't know anything about human nature. You know, if you're making a speech, if you're the district salesman for an auto parts chain, and you're making a pitch to the salesman, you don't go in and insult them, do you? I don't think so. Maybe if you're Glengarry Ross, you do. You know, the first prize is a Cadillac. Second prize is you get fired or whatever. You know, but no, you don't insult people.
Howie, but I think the reason that people like Susan Collins and Murkowski, who are kind of, the rhino people who are a little bit spineless, the reason they're the ones getting offended is because they knew that they were going to be called, liars and unfair and corrupt after they made their decision. But now they're sitting there going, wait a second, you're already calling us all of these things before we've even done anything wrong? Like, Susan Collins is used to people turning on her when they don't like how she votes. But to sit there and yell at her before anything's even happened is like, wait a second. You guys usually give us a couple days before you do this.
Yeah, I know. And she says, she's quoted as saying today, Schumer doesn't care about the truth here. He's just trying to get rid of all of us. And he doesn't think that we can see through his cynicism here. Schumer's misplaying his hand, too. All these Dems. I mean, again, this is what happens when you get nothing but kid glove treatment from the media. You lose it. You get rusty. you know, your instincts begin to get a little little to fade, and that's what's happened here with these guys. They don't come out of out into the halls every day like a Republican in a crouch, you know, waiting for someone to attack them. You know, they just whatever I say, they're going to say I'm a virtuoso, I'm masterful, I'm scintillating, oh, I'm succinct. I can speak for 30 hours and they'll say I'm succinct. What they should say is you suck. OK, but then they, you know, there's a price to be paid for getting a free ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened here this week with these people. 844-500-4242. We got Representative Andy Biggs with us at 4:30 today from Arizona. He's one of the top Republicans, and he'll be laying out what's going to be happening next. And again, I think the Republicans are just going to blow them. I mean, the Republican lawyers are going to just blow this out of the water. They have the facts on their side, and they have the law on their side, because it's hard to get a conviction when there's no crime. Okay, even by round mound of beclowned standards. That's somebody on the text line came up with that one. We'll be right back. If you want to call in, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. We talked yesterday about having a poll question on what's the best chicken at a fast food restaurant. So I just talked with Taylor during the break, and we got some texters wanted McDonald's and Wendy's thrown in. So we got room on the question. So what the heck, you know, buttermilk McChickens. It sounds good, but you know, the problem is what's inside the buttermilk breading. You know,
it's real strips of chicken.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's real chicken.
Okay, well, all right. Let's have the question and see what the results are thus far.
Who has the best chicken sandwich? Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, McDonald's, Wendy's, or Kentucky Fried Chicken?
I'm voting for Chick-fil-A.
Grace, is Grace there?
I'm here. I don't feel adequately equipped to vote for these because I have not had every single one.
All right, so of the ones you've had.
I'm recusing myself from the vote because I don't feel that it is fair to the chickens and the chicken sandwiches if I partake.
I think the only one I haven't sampled on this list is Popeyes, but it's tough between Wendy's and Chick-fil-A. I'm going to say Wendy's.
Okay, well, this could be a tough one. This could be like one that's pretty close, right down to the wire.
Wendy's has a very good bun and thick wedges of tomato, but the Chick-fil-A is leading the pack at 81% with Popeyes.
I don't think that'll stand. It won't be that high for the whole day.
Popeyes at 14, Wendy's with 3%, KFC at 2%, McDonald's dead last at 1%.
Wow.
1% for McDonald's, that's all? Wow. That must be the guy that texted in yesterday and wanted us to put it on.
Higher than Deval Patrick. Deval Patrick's polling at 0%.
It'll fluctuate.
All right.
Just like our waistlines after we do this taste test.
I'm not a Wendy's person, as you know. That in Natick, the nearest Wendy's to me, they don't have a sign that says over 1 million served. They say over one dead.
You can't let one dead person at a Wendy's. stop you from experiencing their culinary cuisine.
I have for many years now.
People have died trying to get a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I know they've been, but that's different from being shot, you know, outside the restaurant.
Dead is dead, Howie.
I know.
All right.
I'm the Jeff Sessions of this chicken sandwich.
No, Grace votes present. Yeah, no, you voted present like, you haven't recused yourself, you voted present like Mr. Frosty in his first vote in the Senate.
Or like Tulsi Gabbard.
I understand why Tulsi voted present, but I don't understand why Mr. Frosty spent his whole life trying to get to the Senate and then he votes present. That's the kind of guy he is. 844-500-4242. Alan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Alan. You there, Alan?
Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my...
Sure.
Yes, yep. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just sitting here. I'm running out of duct tape. My head's about ready to explode. It's just two things that are just really just pushing me. The first thing is that everybody just keeps coming out of the woodwork and saying that this corruption case that Trump was investigating has been debunked. Me personally, I haven't seen anything be debunked yet.
They're lying. That's why you wish it was a real trial, Alan, so the defense lawyer could say, objection, Your Honor. I know you have more leeway in an opening argument or what they're using it as a closing argument, but you can't lie. You can't lie. You could shade the facts, but you can't just make stuff up, and that's what they're doing. You're absolutely right. How is it debunked? Now Laura Ingraham had a story. The New York Times got a report that they had a meeting in January of 2016 when Obama was president at the White House, and the whistleblower called the meeting. This rabid, goateed, pajama boy whistleblower working in the Obama White House, and they discussed what they were going to do about Hunter Biden with Ukrainians. They brought Ukrainians into the White House to say, what are we going to do about this corruption? And guess what, Alan? The New York Times refused to run the story. That's
it's
a shocker,
ridiculous.
Isn't it?
I mean, the President of the United States should be allowed to go after corruption if he feels fit. I mean,
right.
And another thing, Howie, if a Democrat wins, God help us all, but if a Democrat wins, I want somebody to tell me I'm foolish by saying this. But if a Democrat wins, don't think for a minute they're not going to force Israel, strong-arm Israel to sit at the table and work something out with the Palestinians. Yeah. And if they do, they're hypocrites. Because that's what they're trying to blame Trump for doing. We all know. They're going to strong arm.
You know, someone said today
thing.
On CNN, Grace, they said the Democrats should have done more study aids, you know, like they do in elementary school, you know, like have a map of Ukraine. And I thought to myself, yeah, that would be great to have a map of Ukraine. Let's have a map of Ukraine when Obama became president before Russia invaded Ukraine, and we gave them some blankets when they were looking for tank buster missiles. And so then we can say, this is what happened when Obama left office. You'll notice that Ukraine is much smaller. Why was that? It's because they didn't get any weapons from Obama. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
844-500-4242. Man, are people invested in their chicken sandwiches. You see, this text line has exploded yet again for the second day in a row. Jay from Chelsea, so it's bleep you to Kowloon's. Jay, it's chicken sandwiches. Kowloon's doesn't have a chicken sandwich. You know that.
Jay's just cranky today, I think.
Don't they have chicken chow mein sandwiches?
I don't believe so. I don't. Not familiar with any sandwiches at Kowloon's. And then somebody says the local has the best chicken sandwich. I must say, after my birthday party show, Grace and I ate with the two winners of the raffle, and I had a chicken parm sandwich, and it was superb. But we're talking about national chains here. If you're at the local, any of the locals, get the chicken parm sandwich, and you will not be disappointed in the least. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Play the Jonathan Turley cut, because I tend to agree with what he said on TV last night or today. Cut one.
I think that this is one where the House is completely unmoored by history and by the law. I think that this will go down as one of the greatest historic blunders of a House of Congress in rushing the vote by Christmas.
You know, you don't have to have Mr. Congeniality, you know, as your lead counsel in a courtroom situation with a jury. But on the other hand, you don't want to have the most odious, prevaricating, slimy, fat turds out there either. And that's what the Democrats picked. I mean, these are not likable people under any circumstances. And you know, it's amazing that, I don't know if you've seen this yet, and the reason we're not going to play it is because you have, it's a visual rather than radio friendly. But yesterday afternoon, they went to a break, and ABC News, for some strange reason, was still carrying it, mainly because it was Democrat arguments. So they go to a break, and Sekulow, the president's lawyer, comes out, who I think has been doing a good job. You know, he's been acting as a rational adult in answering these charges when he comes out, because, you know, his day is tomorrow when the defense gets to make its opening arguments. So he starts speaking on ABC, and then they cut to George Stephanopoulos, the Democrat operative with a press pass, making $20 million a year. This is a guy who's never covered a real trial, never covered a fire, never covered a shooting. He's not a reporter. He's a Democrat operative with a press pass. So they go to him, and he immediately makes the slash sign across his throat, like, we're not going to talk to any Republican lawyers. He doesn't say that. He just makes the sign. So they cut off, and they say, oh, we're going to have a panel. And they go back to the Lucite desk, and there's, you know, six Democrat operatives, and they've all got different words to describe Adam Schiff: virtuoso, scintillating, brilliant, large neck. You know, it's 844-500-4242. And then this guy Crow from Colorado yesterday, he accused Trump of getting Ukrainian soldiers killed. There hasn't been any war between the Ukrainians and the Russians, I don't think, since Donald Trump was elected. But the main bloodshed between the breakaway country of Ukraine and Russia was when Obama was president. And again, he wouldn't give them any military aid. He wouldn't even give them any aid directly delivered into the country. They had to organize convoys to go to Poland to pick it up. How are they saying that Trump has Ukrainian blood on his hands? It's the exact opposite, as with everything. What they accused Trump of doing, they did, or they do. And now it turns out that at least three of the House managers voted against aid, military aid, to Ukraine. Jody Ernst, her staff, figured that out. They looked back at some roll call votes. So it was Nadler, Hakeem Jeffries, and one of the other ones all voted against lethal aid to Ukraine. And now they say, Trump has endangered national security. And they didn't, and the Ukrainians didn't even know that there was a hold on the aid. This is just such crap. Somebody, a texter, says, well, you know, I just hope they lead tomorrow when the Republicans have their shot. I hope they lead with that video of Biden at the Council on Foreign Relations bragging about, you know, saying, I'm going to hold up the $1 billion in aid. But, you know, I mean, obviously, that's the key. I mean, that he was shaking down the Ukrainian government to get rid of the prosecutor that was going after the company that was providing his crackhead son with $50,000 a month to buy more crack. Right. But you know what the Democrats was? This is promulgating a completely debunked conspiracy theory that Joe Biden was shaking down the Ukrainians just because they have videotape of him admitting it. That doesn't mean it's not debunked. I have a press release here from the Biden campaign.
A memo about the conclusively debunked.
Yes, conclusively.
And debunked. What was the other word?
The something
malpractice
word.
Doctored.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's very difficult to doctor videotape 28 frames per second. Okay, Show me where the splice was on that CFR tape. 844-500-4242. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Howie. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Go back to the Jerry Williams days. Hey, I have another word for Adam, the dazzling, the virtuoso, the blowhard. You know, I switch over in the commercials to try to get the live testimony. He was just talking about we need to put ourselves in other people's shoes. What if it were you? What if it were me that this happened to? You know, we were, what about Carter Page?
Yeah. I know that. I mean, there's a story that's being kind of overlooked because they don't want to report it, and also because of this impeachment nonsense was going on. But now the Justice Department is admitting that they improperly sought two of the FISA warrants against Carter Page, and they're not going to defend themselves against the other two. So basically, they're conceding that every surveillance warrant that they sought against Carter Page was totally fraudulent.
I would like to be his lawyer.
I know. He's gonna, yeah, I know. I mean, it's a slam dunk now. I mean, the Justice Department isn't even going to contest his arguments when he finally files the suit. It's just a question of how much money he's going to collect, and he should collect a lot.
How many civil rights they violated in the process?
Right.
Exactly. It'll all come out. It's taken time. It'll come out.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it comes out before the election, and I want to see these people in jail is what I want to see. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. Did you see too? There's another funny story. I mean, this is kind of minor, but Andrew McCabe is suing because he was fired right before he could collect his pension. This is Andrew McCabe, the number two guy at the Justice Department. He's basically a Democrat operative. His wife got $700,000 from Hillary's bundlers when she was running for office in Virginia, and he was intimately involved in getting all these fraudulent warrants against Carter Page. So he claims, he says, you can't fire. I was improperly fired because I was fired after business hours.
Huh?
He's a cop. So the Justice Department filed a reply to his brief that he was fired after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He claimed it was an improper, illegal firing because it was after business hours, and they showed the FBI handbook that an FBI special agent, which is what he came in as. I told you he's a briefer, as Dan Bongino puts it. He's a pencil pusher. He's a paper pusher. He's a paper shuffler, a pencil sharpener. But he's a bureaucrat. He's not a cop. He's a bureaucrat, but he's technically a cop. So they produce the FBI agent's handbook, and it says an FBI agent is on duty all the time. They just basically slapped him down. It was beautiful what they did to him.
But isn't it funny, Howie, that that's how arrogant these people are? That it's not just enough for him that he's not being thrown in jail, which he should be, but they're that confident that they're going to sue?
Mm-hmm.
People like Lisa Page, who tried to overthrow a duly elected president, aren't just satisfied with getting away with it. They want to sue. They want to be the victim.
Right. Well, I mean, McCabe is not only suing, he's a paid contributor to CNN. He's a news analyst. He did something that J. Edgar Hoover never dreamed of doing, which was commit four felonies on his first day as the director of the FBI. After his boss was fired for taking part in the same criminal conspiracy that he had taken into, which was to frame Americans and concoct fraudulent warrant applications and obstruct justice and commit perjury. And he lied about it. He lied about other things, too. But, you know, he's one of these guys. He's another guy. He's always had everything handed to him. You know, he got to claim he was a cop. He was just a guy. He was just a guy, you know, fetching coffee for his hires up. He never did any steak. You think Andrew McCabe ever did a stakeout? You think Andrew McCabe ever did a no knock, taking somebody down? No. Andrew McCabe never even in the boat coming up on the creek behind Roger Stone's house. He was never helping the CNN crew get the camera equipment out of their van to go stake out Roger Stone when they were doing that pseudo bust. He's a fraud. All these people, they're all total frauds, and they belong in prison for what they did. Lee, you and I would be in prison. Why not them? Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Sounds like Swamp Hog days in Skanksville, D.C., Howie.
Every day. Lee.
Oh, my God. Hey, you going to join us in New Hampshire when the president comes?
I don't know if I'm going to be there or not. I don't know where I'm going to be that day. I would love to be there that day. You know, the problem is there's so many there's not enough Wi-Fi equipment. We can't broadcast out of there because we have to rely on Wi-Fi. We tried to broadcast out of there in August, and we couldn't get a signal. We had to go back to the station. So I don't know if I'm going to get up there or not. I'd love to be there though. You going to be there?
Yeah, got my tickets this morning.
Really? Well, I mean, you and 30,000 other people got your tickets, or 50,000. You're still gonna have to stand in line, Lee. Right?
I'm gonna go down this afternoon, Lee.
That'll be a long wait. You're gonna miss the Super Bowl. You're also gonna miss the Pro Bowl. You know, I mean,
you're going to miss the rest of the impeachment hearing. Come on.
Well, that's the good side. That's the good side of it. But you know, someone was saying today that they're already. I guess he's going to be in New Jersey for the congressman who changed from the Democrat to Republican. What's his name? Van Drew, down in South Jersey, and they're having a rally on Tuesday night. And this woman said that the cars are already starting to like circle the arena, like they're looking for parking space. It's Friday, and the speech is Tuesday, and they're already starting to like scout out locations for themselves, I guess, to camp out and to get parking spaces. So it's good. I mean, it's great stuff. And we have the sound cuts. We'll play the sound cuts of him at the March for Life. Last night he was at a big Republican group. It was at the Doral in Miami. That's one of his places. I guess they had some of the state chairmen were in. I talked to one of them today. I called on something else, and he said Trump was in, like, you know, again, really fine form. And this guy that I talked to said it was kind of like a combination of an inspirational speech like a Tony Robbins and a stand-up comic routine. And it just kept going back and forth, you know, getting people excited to work hard for the ticket in the fall. And then just jokes, just one side-splitting joke after another. And now today he's back in Washington at the March for Life. We'll get right back to this. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life.
That was this afternoon. He was the first president to attend. The march is held in January every year in Washington, D.C., the anniversary of Roe v. Wade in 1973, the terrible Supreme Court decision taking the right to regulate abortions out of state hands, a really misguided decision on any number of levels. Not the least of which is the slaughter of more than 50 million unborn children, but also taking away states' rights. And so he was there, and I'm glad he did it. And you know, he's running. He is running for re-election. He's not a lifelong politician, but he has good instincts. You know, he went to Christmas Eve services. Usually, he goes to the Episcopal Church on the island of Palm Beach, where he got married, Bethesda by the Sea. This year, running for re-election, he goes over across the the lake, the intercoastal waterway, to the biggest Southern Baptist church, because in West Palm Beach, because there's a lot, let's face it, there's a lot more Southern Baptists than there are Episcopalians. And, you know, I mean, going to the March for Life, he appeals to all kinds of Americans, not just Catholics, not just evangelicals, but all sorts of people. And they're voters. And I saw a poll today, 67% of evangelicals in the U.S. Are happy with Donald Trump's presidency. And I always quote Tucker Carlson from an article he wrote, a print article he wrote in 2016, before he even got the job as the nighttime host. And he said that all the liberal commentators who said, well, how can the evangelicals be behind a guy who's been married all these times and, you know, has this potty mouth and, you know, consorts with all kinds of reprobates in New York City? And Tucker said, they're not looking for a spiritual guide. They're looking for a bodyguard. And the bodyguard was a bodyguard to protect them from Democrats, from the Hillary Clintons of the world, from these house managers. I mean, these people don't like them. They don't like us. They don't like anybody who believes in any kind of traditional American values, whether they're religious or political. You know, I mean, the assault on the civil rights of American citizens. I'm not going to say average American citizens, because who's, you know, that's demeaning. You know, if they'll do this to Carter Page or to Donald Trump, what they've done, or to Michael Flynn, what will they do to you or me? And the answer is they'll do anything they can. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we'll have Grace's news as the day continues. We'll give you some updates on the House impeachment drama. I'm Howie Carr.